Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, senior editor with Plugged In.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the March 24th, 2010 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
We have a great show for you today. Coming up, we're going to, well, actually, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do.
You're not?
Nope. No, in honor of the next Adventures in Odyssey episode, our first mystery of the season, I am going to give you clues and let you figure out what we're going to be doing. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go. Odyssey, Connie, contest, website, inspiration,
okay.
Callers.
Ooh, I got it. Is it the Your Chance to Appear in Adventures in Odyssey contest from last summer?
Wow, it certainly is. That's good, Jess. Last summer, we asked listeners to send us audio clips of how Connie inspired them. And did they ever. We got hundreds of audio clips, and 20 of our favorites were featured in the recent episode, The Inspiration Station, Part 2.
You know, fans had so many great entries that it was really hard to choose the clips for that show.
So let's listen now to a few more of those great clips that didn't quite make the final cut for the show. Here are fans answering the question, how does Connie inspire you?
Connie is very inspiring to me.
I remember when I was young, I could always go to Winston and know that Connie's cheerful, bright personality would be there to help cheer me up.
Connie Kanzo inspires me.
Now I want to be just like Connie and help others too.
To me, she's a role model, and she tells me that it's fine that I can be me.
I love her excitement about the Bible. And not only does she teach it, she acts upon it.
Connie inspires me by standing up for her faith, even under pressure.
Well, she's a good person to look up to.
Oh yeah, Connie Kendall! She works at Woodson, and that's my dream job. I want to be just like Connie.
When I moved to Odyssey, Connie was one of the first people I noticed.
Connie inspires me because no matter how many times she makes mistakes, she never lets them keep her from serving God.
She got herself fired and into a lot of guilt, but she felt sorry and repented.
Connie inspires me because she perseveres no matter what happens.
When Mitch went to the FBI and eventually Budapest, you stayed strong. You learned about God's will and you learned to count the cost.
I remember when Connie told me about what her life is like before she was a Christian. She made me think of God in a way I never had before. Thanks so much, Connie.
Connie rocks! Go, Connie!
God loves you, Connie.
How cute is that first little guy? You know, and I love how the listeners notice that Connie has a strong faith and that even when faced with difficult situations, she always follows God. They just had so much fun participating in the contest.
They sure did. And some of our fans went a different direction with the clips they sent us. Let's hear a few of our, shall we say, unconventional entries.
Connie Kendall's inspired me to never dye my hair. I remember the time she dyed her hair raspberry chestnut, but it ended up looking purple.
When I first met Connie, she was wearing a hideous sweater that made her look like a moldy pear.
She will keep the sweaters at Greenblatt's department store forever in fashion.
She also encouraged me to get over my fear of heights, which is why my arm is now in a cast.
I mean, it's not like as soon as you turn around, she turns into another person. What? No, what?
When I first started working for Pete's Gas and Chow, I was really inspired by Connie to go the extra mile in being early. After all, the only thing I've ever heard her say when she first walked into Wit's End is, "Sorry I'm late, Wit."
She always has these new ideas. I just don't listen to her romantic ideas, because they don't really work.
Connie really inspired me with her ingenious habit of checking the ice cream at Wit's End to make sure it's not freezer burned. Every time my mom brings ice cream home from the grocery store, I do the same thing. I check it for freezer burn. My family is much safer thanks to Connie Kendall.
She has taught me to order simply at drive-thru windows and to make sure I will get meat on my Maxi Deluxe.
She even saved Odyssey from Novacon. Wait, that was Mitch.
Jesse, I know I've learned a few things from Connie over the year, but that freezer burn comment, well, that's something we should probably all take to heart.
You know, I think my son already does that in our household. You know, it's great to hear how the fans are included in the new shows. You know, for this weekend show called Game for a Mystery, fans will be able to solve it along with the characters. Hmm. And now, Bob, it's my turn to give you a set of clues for our next segment.
Okay, I'm game for a mystery.
Okay, here we go. Monthly. Solving. Two kids, author, brilliant editor.
Oh, I got this one.
Yeah? What do you think?
Is it Christopher Maselli, the author of the monthly Clubhouse Mysteries?
That's it.
He was the brilliant editor. That's what gave it away.
Well, thank you. And we recently got to talk to Chris about writing for Clubhouse Magazine, you know, how he crafts his mysteries, and a lot more.
Well, let's hear what he had to say.
Well, I'm really excited to have Christopher Maselli on the phone because Chris and I go way back because Chris has written for Clubhouse Magazine, I think, since 2003 with a comic that was called Sand Dudes. Chris, do you remember those old days at Clubhouse?
Oh, I remember Sand Dudes, yes. In those days, yeah, Sand Dudes was one zany, fun comic. I really enjoyed it.
From that point, you jumped in and started writing some mysteries for Clubhouse. I remember these April Showers mysteries about a young girl who lived in Hawaii, and she would sort of have to, these things would happen to her and she'd have to figure it out.
Yes, the April Showers mysteries were a lot like the current Jones and Parker mysteries in that they were solve-it-yourself mysteries, kind of in the vein of like an Encyclopedia Brown mystery. That's what I used to read when I was a kid. And they, you know, there really wasn't a lot of books around back then like that let you participate. And, you know, they're interactive in the way they work because you're trying to solve the mystery before the main character does. Because by the time you've gotten to the end of the story and read that solution, the main character solved the mystery themselves. So you're trying to do it before them. And that was always really cool. So I always really enjoyed Encyclopedia Brown.
When did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
When did I know? Well, goodness, I have always enjoyed writing. You know, I used to write when I was 12, 13 years old. I remember our youth group had a newsletter that they did, and I used to write about music in the newsletter, the latest in Christian music, which back in those days, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. But I'd always write about that, and the other kids enjoyed reading it. And so I always thought it was kind of a cool thing to do and fun thing to do. And then I went to college, and my first job, I ended up becoming a marketing writer, and I wrote marketing materials, and they ended up wanting to put some kids' pages in their ministry magazine. And pretty much no one else wanted to do it because no one else, you know, really knew about writing for kids or anything. And I just liked writing kids type things. I thought, wow, how great would it be to spend your day writing short stories and doing mazes and crossword puzzles and that sort of thing. So I jumped on it. I said, well, yeah, let me do those pages. And those pages ended up turning into a kids magazine, and things just really picked up a lot from that point on. And I just kept writing and writing. You know, that's a lot of the secret, I think, to the writing lifestyle is to just keep at it, do a little by little, day by day.
Now, you're a full-time freelance writer. Can you let our listeners know what's a typical day for you? Because you write books, you write magazine articles, you write for the internet, you do a lot of different writing. So what does a day look like for you?
I work at home, and I'm at home with my wife and kids, and I've got three kids under five. So we have a very busy household. But the typical day will start out where we'll wake up in the morning, you know, and I'll have breakfast with the kids and just kind of start out the day like anyone might. But instead of driving away from my house, I go into my office here at home and I'll sit down and look at what I need to write that day. And I try to treat it as much like a real 9-to-5 job as I can, because I know that if I don't, you know, we'll quickly fall behind in the things we have to do. So I just start plugging away day by day, and I look for new opportunities, and I always just like to start down, and the biggest thing is to just write some every day, like I said a little earlier, because that'll keep you going.
When I first heard about that there are going to be these two sort of mystery solvers in Odyssey, as the Adventures in Odyssey staff was talking about the new characters and moving ahead with Album 51, you know, I immediately thought of you as an author who could write these things. So you've actually, you know, read scripts, gone through the Odyssey Bible to learn how the characters talked. Even before you even heard an episode, you had to write about these characters. Talk about how that was as a writer, and it seems like a different discipline for you.
It is, and, you know, thankfully, Emily Jones, who's the one who essentially pens these detective dossiers that she writes every month in Clubhouse, she almost writes herself. She's a very strong personality, and when I first got this assignment and I started reading some of the things that everyone had put together about Emily Jones and about Matthew Parker, Emily just jumped off the page for me because she She doesn't just play like she is going to be a detective one day. As far as she is concerned, it's the core of her being is what she is. You know, she takes this very, very seriously. And so it's very easy to write that kind of character. It's absolutely a joy.
Talk about where your ideas come for the mysteries, because you've had them solve everything that's sort of like a science-related mystery. I think the case of the broken heart, where the heart-shaped vase broke because it froze and the water expanded and broke the glass. This summer, there'll be ones that relate to, the gasoline that cars use and different things like that. So your ideas are coming from a lot of places, but where do you get the ideas for the mysteries?
I like to use a method that I call an idea splat.
Oh.
Let's take the case of the broken heart that you talked about, because that one's been published, so a lot of people may have read that. In that mystery, one of the teachers comes into her classroom, finds out that this vase that she'd been given has been broken. So the question is, how did it break? Well, to come up with that mystery, I always start off with a core idea. And I'll just get a piece of blank paper in front of me, and I'll write that core idea down. So that it may be like, for February, since Valentine's Day was that month, I thought, well, I probably want to write something kind of around a Valentine's Day or a love theme. So I wrote down the word Valentine's Day / love in the middle of my paper. Then I thought, what are all the things that could tie into that? Well, I might do a mystery about chocolates. So I wrote down the word chocolates, and I connected it to those first words. Then I wrote down Valentine's Day cards, and then I wrote down flowers, and then I wrote down a vase. And so I wrote down each one of those things. And then I looked at each of those, and I thought, well, what could have happened? Well, maybe someone ate the chocolates, or maybe someone stole the chocolates. Or how about with the vase? Well, let's say it could be broken, or it could be missing. And then as I did this, and I had all these things written down, I looked at which one I liked, and I thought, well, I kind of like that the vase is broken. That's kind of cool. So how could it have been broken? Well, maybe someone broke it, or maybe it shattered somehow scientifically. And so I wrote down different ideas like that. And by the time it's all said and done, and I do this for every mystery, I may have 20 to 50 ideas sitting down on a piece of paper, which looks like a big splat on the paper, right? Which is why I call it the idea splat. But what you have to do is when you've got all those ideas down, you look at every one of them and you ask yourself, what is the golden idea here? What's the one that really jumps off the page and could just really be a cool, fun idea to explore? Yeah. So that's how I come up with it. I do what is called an idea splat, and it's very effective.
Well, we look forward to reading and hearing more of what you've been working on, Chris. And you know, it's interesting. It's been such a pleasure talking with you and hearing the joy and enthusiasm in your voice. It's no wonder Clubhouse readers enjoy your stuff so much.
Well, thank you very much. It is nothing short of a blessing to be able to write for Clubhouse.
I always enjoy hearing how authors craft their stories.
Yeah, and our listeners can solve a mystery with Matthew and Emily every month in Clubhouse Magazine. And remember, listen this weekend to hear their first mystery on the radio show.
Before we go, we need to remind our listeners that the Act Like Odyssey contest deadline is only a few days away, March 31st. If you've been putting off sending your entry to us, don't wait any longer. And if you need more information, you can find it on the web at witsend.org.
Well, that's all we have for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
You can visit us on the web at witsend.org/podcast or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day's an adventure.